It says in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." You may be seated. By the help of the Lord, tonight I'd like to preach on this thought, splitting atoms. A look at the two atoms. Amen. That we was reading there, the first, it said, the first sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. That's all them that have met the last Adam. That last Adam, it said, is a quickening spirit. What's quickening mean? It means to be made alive. If you've met the last Adam, you're more alive than you've ever been, and you're never going to die. You've done what death if you've met the last Adam. Oh, how precious he is, that last Adam. I'm glad that he came and undid what happened with the first Adam. Oh, my daddy's back here tonight. I'm a chip off the old block. You can tell I'm his son. Oh, the only difference is the color of our beard hairs. Oh, everybody in here, you can't help it. You can't deny the first Adam. You was born with sin, inherited from him. Everybody you see walking up and down the street is a son of the first Adam. I can't wait to get the glory. Everybody you see will be a son of the last Adam. Oh, and they'll all be a resemblance there. That fruit of the Spirit, that first Adam, and what he's given you and me, and what we've inherited from him, will not go to heaven. There will resemble the last Adam. Amen. Oh. In John chapter 20, oh, Jesus had died on the cross. A bloody, brutal death. His blood streaming everywhere. Flayed he was for you and me. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 20 of John, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus." Oh, when he got up out of that grave, he didn't look like the mangled, bloody mess when they laid him there. He had a different look to him. And it said, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." She recognized that voice. It ain't changed a lick. It ain't ever changed. It's the same one that spoke. Oh, this thing into existence. That's the same one that'll come to buy you if you're a lost man and under conviction. And he'll say, "Will you?" And you can say, "I do." And you can be part of the bride. Amen. It's that same voice. Oh, she recognized that voice even though she didn't recognize him. Says she thought he was the gardener. A while back, I was helping a buddy of mine cut trees, and we just cut talking in between me running the saw. He said, "You know who had the first garden, don't you?" I said, "Why, the Lord did." He said, "That's right." Oh, and then this verse came to mind. Now we're going over to Genesis. It says, "And God said, Let us make man in our image." This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Oh, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Oh, and then you go over to verse 15 of chapter 2. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And I got to thinking about them two things. Man was made to work. God made man to be his friend and to work. That's the purpose of man, if you ever wondered, is to be God's friend and to labor for him. Amen. Oh, Adam was made to be a gardener. Oh, glory, but he wasn't the first gardener. He was made in the image of the gardener. I don't wonder that when Mary looked over at Jesus and said, thought he was the gardener. That's because he looked like a gardener, because every man after him, amen, was made to work in the garden. Amen. That first Adam looked like the last Adam. That first Adam, amen, before he put the sin on, was a gardener. She thought that last Adam was a gardener because he just put the sin off. Amen. Amen. They looked just alike. I believe they were pretty well twins. Oh, more so than a little. I believe that you'd look back and forth and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between before sin got involved. Amen. I got a few things wrote down. Hey, that first, hey, man, this is important. Oh, glory. I'll just go ahead and cover this one right here. Hey, there a minute ago, it said that God made them, it said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then we talked about how he created man in his image. You go on down to verse 28 in chapter 1 of Genesis. And God created them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. He said, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Oh, glory. I don't know about you, but subdue means you put it in a bind till it calls uncle. I remember I used to wrestle my daddy. He's that big gorilla sitting back there in the back of the church. I was a little old shaver. He wouldn't even use his hands and legs. He's just sitting there watching NASCAR or something. I'd try to wool him and he'd wool me using just his legs. He'd throw me down and put me in a bind until I tapped out or said, uncle, that's what man's supposed to do to every living thing. There ain't a thing in this world wrong with you hunting, brother. Oh, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what God made you to do. Putting in dominion every living thing, every single one. Oh, I used to work on a fishing boat. We'd pull in about 90 tons of fish in a single net. It'd be stuffed plumb thick. They'd be packed in there. Oh, and they'd pull the purse string on the back of that thing and she'd empty out. And they'd make fillets and send them all over the world. Oh, I assure you, man has done a pretty good job putting in dominion this little old planet God put us on. We've done a pretty good job subduing every living creature. Amen. I ain't seen too many cattle get the better of a man. They'll usually get on that trailer or get hurt. Amen. Oh, you go over to chapter 3. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That old devil took a form of a snake, and he slipped up next to Adam's sweetheart. And the first thing he did was put in question this book, this word. If anybody puts in question this book, oh, you need to flee from them. They ain't your friend. It's simply, you make yourself fit this book and fit its parameters. This book is right and you're wrong. Amen. This book is right. I'm wrong. This book is right. I don't care if it don't line up with this book and it's wrong. That old snake, first he put it in question, and a woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he's just flat out lying. Oh, he started putting it in question, and now he's against it all the way. Oh, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Oh, and he did eat.
feet.
I'll have you know, Adam messed up right there. God done told him to subdue every living thing, and he let an old snake to walk up or fly up or whatever form they moved back then. He got up next to his sweetheart and questioned the word of God while Adam was standing there. Husbands, you listen to this. Oh, you be careful what slithers up next to your sweetheart and starts telling her lies and trying to tear up your home. That snake was a whispering in her ear. Oh, and he was a standing there watching. He heard that thing speak against his very best friend, that holy God that made him and made his sweetheart. And that sorry rascal was sitting there lying to his sweetheart, and he's a standing there, and he heard every bit of it. He said he was with her. Oh, and then she took a bite and brought on death. Oh, what was a man to do? The woman he loved so dearly had just been sentenced to death. So he decided he was going to take a bite too, and he died with her. Oh. Oh, and eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Ain't that the way it goes for sin? We try to fix it ourselves first. There ain't no fix for sin. As soon as they plucked that leaf off that vine, that leaf was dead. It wasn't going to cover them for long. And I heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That still happens today when you've been a witness in the workplace and they try to get away from you. That's that same thing. It's the presence of God on you. I call it run, Philistine, run. That's what I call it. Oh! What does it pull down to? It boils down to pride. When they're wrong, they know they're wrong, but they don't want to admit it. They'd rather run away from you than admit they're wrong. Get saved. Oh, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I'm glad God's still coming by. Shoo to the sons of Adam. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. He's trying to get away from it, but finally he admits it. And he says, and I did eat. I'm glad that he admitted he was a sinner. If Adam hadn't admitted he was a sinner, this next part probably wouldn't ever come to pass. Oh, it takes you admitting you're a sinner. Oh, if you want your sins covered. Amen. Oh. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Amen. That old devil just thought he had it bad when he was thrown out of heaven. Amen. He done messed up now. Oh, he done messed with God's friend. Oh, it says this next verse, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Oh, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a whole lot going on in this one little old verse. Oh, I love this verse very much. First it says, I'll put enmity. That old devil done been thrown down. Amen. But then he done went and messed with God's buddy, Adam, that was made to be his friend. And now God said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Oh, glory. The devil's the father of a lie. Oh, Jesus is truth. Oh, God said her seed. Oh, one of the similarities of the first Adam and the last Adam both have is both of them don't have an earthly father. Amen. The first Adam was formed of clay, and God breathed in his nostrils and made him a living soul. That last Adam was born in a virgin womb. Oh, I like that. Oh, you see what happened in a woman's womb. Any lady you know that's born a child, there's that placental sac, that placenta, and that little old baby's in there developing. And every bit of nutrients comes from the mama through the umbilical cord, and it comes in that baby, and the waste goes back out. Oh, glory. Every person in here has a blood type, whether it's A, B, A, B, or O. You get two parts from your mama and daddy. Amen. And it makes your blood type. If mama's A and daddy's B, you become AB. That's how that works. Amen. And in that umbilical cord is a barrier. The baby's blood type might not match the mama's, but to keep that baby from getting sick, God put a barrier in there. Every drop of nutrients and waste goes back and forth across that barrier. Never do the two bloods mix. Oh, it does something for me. I can't tell you exactly what blood type Jesus had. His mama could have been A, B, or O. Oh, but that other half, it wasn't from Adam. That other half was from the Holy Ghost. So he's either A, holy, B, holy, or O, holy. He was one of them right there. That's what he was, you see. Oh, glory. That's why it says from her seed. He's the only one that's ever been that didn't have an earthly father. Oh, glory. Why was that so? Because it wouldn't have done us no good if he had died and he had the sin of Adam in him. If he had inherited that sin that me and you got in us, it wouldn't have done no good. Oh, it says that you shall, I don't got the book in front of me, it says, you shall bruise his heel and he'll crush his head. Amen. Oh, in God's time, it wasn't too long after those events that Jesus was born in that virgin womb. That holy, sinless little boy was born. Oh, glory. And he lived a life 33 and a half years. Temptation all around, but he never did yield one time. Never had a filthy thought. Never had a sin in him. That was for you and me. Oh, because he knew that he was going to have to bleed. And he died on an old cross. He was beat and battered and bashed. It says his very bones stared upon him. Oh, and he was bloodied. And he was nailed to that old tree. When they nailed a man, they nailed through the hand, the wrist, and they nailed through the foot. They overlapped the feet so that one heel is against that old cross. Oh, and he'd shove up on that heel to gasp for air. Oh, and prolong his life. Oh, until the Father is pleased with the sacrifice. Oh, and it makes a special bruise on one heel. It didn't say it bruises heel. It said bruises heel. Oh, he did that for you and me. What am I saying? I'm saying the first Adam let the snake talk to his sweetheart and bring him on death. That last Adam, oh glory, when he paid for his sweetheart on Calvary, he crushed the head of the snake, amen. Once you've been to Calvary, once you've got saved, amen. That old snake might make you have a bad day. He might even cause you youngins trouble, but he ain't got no hold on you. He can't cause you to die. You're done sealed. Amen. Your sweetheart didn't let that rascal have an effect on you once you've trusted in him. Amen. He killed the snake for you and I. It says 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord. What's that mean? You ever killed a snake? They'll wiggle for a day or two. It's only been 2 days. He's hanging on a fence post, wiggling away. Oh. Hey, man. Oh. Oh, glory to God. And so then, then we know he made the first sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Blood has to be shed. Them fig leaves weren't cutting the mustard. Something had to die to stave off that sin for a little while. I ain't got Bible for this, but this Bible holds true from start to end. It says when you do the sacrifice that the priest would lay his hand on the head of the bull or goat or whatever it was that was perfect without blemish, and he'd cut the throat and the blood would flow, and his hand on it would transfer the sins and stave off the sin curse. I wonder if Adam had to hold that lamb's head while Jesus made him a coat. That's the first time I'd ever seen blood. I wonder if Jesus looked at Adam and said, because of what you did, I got to do this for every one of your children. And I've done stepped aside to do it. And he made him a little old coat, him and his sweetheart both. Amen. It said that Adam was made in the image of God. I believe Adam was a preacher. I don't have Bible for that either, other than he was made in the image of God. And Jesus was the best preacher ever lived. There was no preacher like Jesus. He's still preaching. That book will preach whether somebody's there to read it or speak it or anything. It'll preach. And he's the Word made flesh. He's still preaching good. That Adam, I believe, is a preaching man. I can't help but think of old Orville Dolan. He was a friend of my papa, a preacher man from this region. He had a lot of teeth missing. He's an old man. I remember he's a little hard to understand, but he is a slinging gold nuggets if you'd listen. Adam lived 930 years after he messed up. I bet he had one of the cleanest walks ever been. He knowed what it costed. Oh, he knew firsthand what it costed. Amen. He knew before and after sin. I believe for 930 years that man walked. I believe he walked clean. Amen. I believe when he's getting near the end, about a 900-year-old man climb up in a pulpit, and they say, "Who is this old fool? He ain't got a belly button. What's he doing holding up that old coat?" He'd hold that old coat up, and he'd say, "There's one that covered my shame. He'll cover your shame. He's a-coming again. I've walked with him in the garden. I know how good it can be." Amen. Don't sin, walk clean. There's one that'll cover your sins. Oh. Oh, Adam. I believe he's a pretty good man. Everywhere he looked, it was his fault. When he was mopping up Abel's blood, it's his fault. I got that thought over a couple years ago when you preached. I remember that message. I think it was this year. Ain't that what it's called? I remember that. That's where I first had that thought. Everywhere Adam looked is his fault. So Adam brought all sin, and when he died, all the sin on the world was his fault. That last Adam, he covers all sin. Amen. That first Adam, he couldn't redeem his bride. So he went ahead and died. That last Adam, he could redeem his. So he stayed clean and died for her. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Oh, way back yonder. Oh, when God made Adam. Let's see if I can find it. All right, let's see. I can't find it. My ADD's kicking up on me. It don't matter. I can tell you. You can go back and read it. It said God let a deep sleep fall on him, and he opened his side and pulled a rib, and he resealed that wound, and he made him a woman, which means from man. That's how Adam got a sweetheart, and together he made them male and female. Well, over here in John, chapter 19, it says in verse 30, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He gave it up. He didn't get took. That's very important. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. To get it over with quicker, they'd kill them, break their legs, so they'd bleed out in the legs. Jesus had already given up the ghost. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Amen. That does something for me. I had to mull that over and mull that over and mull that over. Why was it so important that none of his bones be broken? And it's almost a miracle that you could get beat like that and not something get broken. I mean, it said his bones there upon him. His back was shredded. He was marred beyond what a man should look like. But not a bone was broken. And then they opened his side like he did the first Adam. And blood came out. And he bought his bride out of his side too. And I got to thinking on them bones. It said, first of all, because it prophesied that none of his bones would be broken to prove that that is Jesus. Oh, that's good. I like that. And then I got to thinking about this. Hey, man, I found this. Another reason them bones weren't broken. In Exodus 12:46, this is on the Passover, and they're preparing the sacrifice. It says, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. The Passover lamb, you're not to break one of the bones. Why was this important, them shepherd to come inspect little baby Jesus? Because he was the lamb set aside before the foundation of the world. Them shepherds needed to come down there and see that precious lamb. Oh, glory. Amen. He was the Passover lamb to end all Passover lambs. It never had to be done again. Oh, they'd take and kill that Passover lamb and sling that blood around the door. Amen. And escape death. Well, it's still true today, you see. Oh, that Passover lamb. Oh, one bone was not broken. If they had broke one bone, he would not have been worthy as a Passover lamb. That can't, whoo, glory. Oh, I got another reason. Oh, that came to me in your heart right now. You got the top half and the bottom half, four chambers in your heart. The top half fills, drops down, and it's called the love dub. The love is when the top part fills, and then the dub is the big squeeze. Love dub, love dub, love dub. It's really going, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why is that, you say? Because that right side squirts up and goes to the lungs. The little iron in your red blood cells grabs oxygen through simple magnetism and drags that oxygen all the way down to your pinky toe and all the way back up and around. And it brings life to your cells and takes up the trash and carries it and drops it off. Every heart thump, it goes in the lungs, comes back in the left side. The left side goes up through the aorta, splits off some to the brain, and the rest goes all the way down and back around for every heartbeat. The life is in the blood. When that blood flow stops, something dies. If you put a rubber band around your pinky, that daddy will turn black and fall off. He's got to have blood. Well, it just so happens that every drop of blood in your body is made in the marrow of the bone. God took the frame that all your meat's hung from, and he uses it to make blood. And the marrow of them bones, every drop of blood in your body is made. Oh, what are you saying, Colder? I'm saying God didn't let the source be hindered, nor stopped, nor broken. Oh, oh, glory, the source of that blood. Amen, he didn't let it get stopped. Not only did he not let it get stopped, oh, but he didn't lay dead in them tomb. Muhammad's tomb's got a set of dry bones in it. The marrow's dead. Buddha's tomb has a set of bones in it, and the marrow's dead. Amen, you go to Jesus' tomb, and she's empty, because them bones didn't stay dead. That breath of life come by. Oh, that Holy Ghost, and he got up. Oh, and Mary mistook him for the gardener. Oh, glory. He's alive and well, and them bones are still making blood. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. He went by that house where all them disciples was, and he came in there, and old Doubting Thomas said, I won't believe it's him unless I touch the nail prick and the hole in his side. Guess what? Jesus let him do it. What's that tell me? Unlike that first Adam that had his side closed back up that you'd never know it, lest he had an x-ray. That last Adam, he kept the wound open. He's still making blood. The blood's still flowing. Oh, glory. That's what you call grace. The wound is still there. Oh, glory. It's not a one application and it dries up and falls off. No, sir. Once you're under the blood, that flow is still flowing. You're still under it. Oh, glory. If I mess up tomorrow, that blood's still a covering. Oh, glory. Oh, praise the Lord for that. He kept that wound and let Thomas stick his hand in it. And then he went up to the Father. God took them bones to heaven. That which made you clean cannot be touched by man. Can't be touched by a man. Can't be touched by the devil. Can't be touched by anybody. It's on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession. Whoo, glory. Oh, why is it so important that the blood still flow? Oh, glory. Because if it's still flowing, that means your babies can get saved. That means, oh, glory, that means the grandchildren can get saved. It's still flowing. The wound is still open that he bought his bride with. That's the mark of buying his bride. Oh. That does something for me. Nobody can mess with what made me clean. You get dirty, what do? It's still flowing. Amen. Only God can put something together like that. Oh, glory. That's pretty much most of what I got. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Amen. If he had stayed in that tomb, this would be in vain. But he got up. And he's on the right hand of the Father. Oh, it does something for me. Oh. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So this is almost just a bunch of exhortation, except for this part. It's very plain in this old book. He did everything that could be done to see that everybody gets saved. It's his will they get saved. The blood's still flowing. There's enough there for everybody. Every single person you see walking, he paid it already for them. He done paid it. He done carried their sin to Calvary. The only thing left is obedience. So much obedience goes into a soul getting saved. It starts with you. He said, "Invite somebody to Easter. Let them come here about that empty tomb." Once you ask them, it's off of you. But the blood could be, their blood could be on your hands. Oh, that's heavy, ain't it? But all the times God prick your heart just to speak to somebody. It could even be a testimony in church. Revival might break out if you would obey. Amen. Just because it pleased God, he'd give an extra push on the pastor. I believe that with all my heart. That if God pricks somebody's heart to say something, do something, it might even be as simple as to stand up and raise a hand. That might be the nudge that God's waiting on for it to break loose. Yes, if it pleases God. So if you disobey, you might have hindered a lot of people getting saved in this community just because you didn't testify. Nobody thinks of it like that, but it's true. Yes, or that song that it will embarrass you if you sing it. That singing blessed me, brother. That's good. That's good. It ain't about what you want. It's about what he wants. If you'll obey God, who knows what might happen. Amen. A lot of people don't think if I testify or shout, somebody will get saved. But if God says shout, he's got a reason. Amen. Once you've done what God asked you to do, it's off of you. Then it's on them. They can say yes or they can say no. But somebody will disobey to go to hell. Come on, he made a way. He fully made a way. Bought the bride. Was the Passover lamb. He did it all them ways at one time and fulfilled the prophecy. He did it all because he loves you and me. And now if we'll obey when that little old voice speaks, who knows what might happen. If you don't do what God tells you to do, they might not even get the opportunity to say yes or no. I believe He'll come by everybody one time. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe it's through the obedience of the saints that He'll come by many times. Now, there's a lot of people that didn't get saved till they got older because Mamaw didn't quit praying. I believe that extra time spent on their knees between them and God honored it. He said, I did what was required. I went by with the Holy Ghost one time. But because you keep asking, I'm going to go again and again and again. On, and give them more and more and more opportunity to be saved. I believe that with all my heart, preacher. I believe you're looking at evidence of it. I believe you are, my praying man. Them hours spent, in the throne room of God. You're looking at evidence of it. That Holy Ghost came by and got me early. So I didn't have a sin-scarred life. Or I have some scars, but not near what I would have had. I might have been as dirty as I am a saved man. I'd have been a monster if I'd stayed lost. But somebody went on my behalf at the nudging of God. And then He saved me. And He called me to preach. Papa loved Rock of Ages. None of them down there know who He is, but it don't matter. It don't matter. He loved them so dearly. Mike Adams, Ron Garris, Ed Blue. Loved them. There ain't nothing he'd rather than me be. Amen. Than going after them dirty fish. Y'all can fish for your trout. I'll fish for carp all day. Amen. They're easier to catch. Come on, preacher.